Okay, Sunday, 17th Shir of winter of Tavshin Ayin Tes, Shir Erech Hashem, Lady Shir, Derech Hashem, December 23rd, Yom Aleph Parsha Shmos, Tezvav Tevez. Okay, we're in the fourth section, and we're in the fourth parak, which was about Krishma, and we'll start from the beginning of paragraph 3 again. We're in the middle of paragraph 3. V'amna mikol ha'nyonim ha'elu, because of the... Till now, he talked, till the paragraph 1 and 2, he talked about the hugeness, such a word, of Hashem Echad, objective existence, the cause of everything, the reason for everything, Ol Malchuso, everything is here, everything only runs according to his will, everything is leading towards a certain goal of Gilui Kvod Malchuso. The revelation, the revealing that Hashem Shuhu Elokim, Hashem Kol Haaretz, Hayom Ha'udi Yeh Hashem Ha'Horesh Ma'achad, will get us something, you know, the Bali Musar explained that just like there was a flash of, you know, when the two words Ani Yosef, they suddenly understood the last 22 years and what was going on. They had a realization that they were motivated by jealousy, which up till then they didn't even realize. They were sure that they made a bet, the Yosef brothers. They were sure they made a bet then, and they did. And they passed it, and they did. They were sure that they were acting correctly and selflessly and motivated only with a concern for Klal Yisrael. And they looked at Yosef like a usurper, another Esau possibly, a usurper. You don't have to say like an Esau, but like a usurper. Someone who didn't belong. And you have to realize that each of the Avos until then had a bad apple. Ishmael, that he did tshuva, but so he also maybe you can't call him a bad apple. Okay, and then there was Esau. And then if you would follow that pattern, Yaakov would also have a bad apple. And they saw that he's trying to dislodge them from their father's affections. He presented himself as a melech. Anyway, but then when he said, Ani Yosef, they like, oh my goodness. Like, and then they had this... it's a tremendous, tremendous busha. And that's what we're all going to have on the Yom HaDin, the Chazal tell us, that we're going to realize that all of our rationalizations and all of our, you know, I'm sure I'm right, and I'm doing it for objective reasons, suddenly everything falls away, and they realize they're motivated by kinna, which the Torah reveals to us back in the beginning of the story, by Yekanu Bo Echav. So we're given already a little insight into the, well, it's subconscious, maybe, of motivation. Certainly consciously they held that they were very righteous. Even when they finally said, we're being punished because we heard our brother's pleas and we didn't respond, that's what they... It's interesting that they referred to that, not to the selling of him, which is like, how do you sell your brother? But they talked about how we hardened ourselves to his cries. So, I mean, they still felt that Me'ikar Hadin, as we say, they were right. No, but they should have had Rechmonos. How could they have heard their brother plead for mercy and not rethink the issue? But then, Ani Yosef, you go, uh-oh, he's Taka Melech, he's Taka Omid Betzitko, oh my goodness, Ani Yosef. And they understood everything that, with the spies and the accusations, and that's the realization, that's like the best mushal we have for the realization that's going to hit the whole world. And how come I had to live through this, and how come I have this trouble, and how come I had this nisayon, and how come I had this obstacle to overcome? And then there'll be a flash, and Hashem, the Hashem Echad flash, of course. and oh, you know, like Ani Yosef, Ani Hashem, and we're going to all get it. But meanwhile, we're striving towards that. And every time we say Shema Yisrael, every time a Jew says Shema Yisrael and his Makabel understands that Hashem Echad, meaning he's, well, it means a lot of things, but right now we're focused on that he is the source of the reason and the empowering of everything that exists, and only him, and that he's a native, that he's Tov, everything, he's in control of everything. But, oh, and then, Makabel Ol Malchus Shemayim, because that's in a sense what we're doing. We're saying that his will is the governing, is the raison d'etre of the world. It's, well, it's more than that. It's the only governing power source is his will. There is nothing else in the world. It's also included in Hashem Echad. That's why we think about Ol Malchus Shemayim. We don't say Ol Malchus Shemayim and Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. But that is like the primary thought you have to have. That's in the Gemara and that's in the Shulchan Aruch. And if you don't have that thought, you may have to say over Kriya Shema. And it's not directly the meaning of the words Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. It's not. And it's not the meaning of the word Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Ol Yilavayet either, even though we said the word Malchus Ol. But that's what my moral is saying, because that is the essence of the Malchus, is that everything is his will, everything that happens is his will. Like Pyro says to Yosef, again, Mahamdu, you know, me baladecha la yorim ishis, yodah visraglo veris mitzrayim. No one can make a move without your okay, without your saying it's okay. So, it's very, very powerful, Shema. This is what the Ramchal is saying. This is what we're going to be learning in the Maral in the fourth section about the spiritual power of the mitzvahs we do. How it goes, you know, on the very first basic level, it's I'm doing Hashem's will. I'm eating in a sukkah. I'm doing Hashem's will. I have a mezuzah on my door. I'm doing Hashem's will. I'm taking challah. But everything is deeper and deeper and deeper, and you know, down to the esoteric aspects of Torah, and everything is spiritual energy, and everything is spiritual strength. And he's going to be explaining every mitzvah, well, not every mitzvah, but he'll be explaining the major mitzvahs we go through in a day, and parts of davening, and he'll be showing us the Ramchal what spiritual energy is unleashed. So this is the most powerful. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. You're unleashing the power of Hashem Echad, O Malchus Shemayim. This is the purpose. This is like the goal. This is the goal line of everything. And you're saying it's true, and I want to help bring it closer, and I want to make a Kiddush Hashem. We'll soon see, because I bring it closer. For Amnon, paragraph 3, Mikola and Yonam Ha'ele, Yosef told us, Bedolos, there are tremendous ramifications of Tikkun Klal Kol HaBriya. It's not all about you, and it's not all about me. And this is, the Mesil Sesharim, written by the Ramchal, alludes to this in the first parak. He says, you're rectifying, being the Sakein, the whole world, the whole Bria. The whole Bria exists to help man reach this peak of seeing Hashem as Echad. So whenever someone is inching along, moving along in that path, and the Bria is helping him, the Bria is providing him with food, and with shelter, and with clothing, and with everything the Bria has to offer, food, drink. So the Bria becomes Nis'aleh. This becomes the rectification, if you will, of the Bria. Bezeh, ki ulam sidrei ha-Bria, b'chonon oseha, everything about the Bria, b'sudorim, are all arranged. Bezerech, shekesher malchusa yizborech shmon odas, when his malchus, malchus Hashem, the Malchus Hashem becomes revealed, and we're towards the final rectification, where everybody is saying, in everyone's mouths. Right, as we say, Chol Bnei Bosu Yikru Rishmech. Also say, let the Kol Rishayoritz. Either be a good Kol Yoritz Seder, either Chatzichar Kol, Chatzichar Kol Lashon. Nachma Hashem Alokim Yikru Vipolu, Lich Vashimcha Yikar Yitainu. We're still talking about the whole world. Vitabu Cholom Asal Malchusato. It's a moich alahem v'yoni lo v'ed. Ki ha Malchus al Chayim. So when that happens, Nimtza, the flow of Malchus Hashem is Tov, Tov and more Tov. The flowing of goodness. Nimtza, because that's the Or Panim of Hashem, and everything's good, and the aggravation is gone, and the tough times are gone. Everything has a good purpose, but it, many times, as we all know, it hurts. But now it's going to be good. All good, only good is going to flow. What Mrs. Noah likes to call revealed. When the servants rebel, then everything tanks and everything goes south. And this is the world. This is how the world is arranged. This is how the world is set up. So if anything bad, anything untoward, anything negative, negativity is a result of the spiritual negativity of not having recognition of Hashem. It's not just people, it's up to people. It's up to us to get it moving. But it affects everything that was created. It was created with a link to heaven, as we've learned from the past. Paul and Manaflos, of course, the Chanam Chelik Rishon. But the bottom line is Nimshav Vladimir Maaseh HaTachtonim. It's up to us. We are the ones tasked with making it known. Hashem could have made it known. Hashem could have made it never not known. Hashem could have put up a big sign somewhere. It's up to us with our actions, with our deeds, with our tefillos, with the way we act and the way we are and doing the Ratzon on Hashem. This is what's revealing Hashem more and more in the Bria. V'lamayos malchus v'gizbar. Das alone of das, then shalmadim imayse atachtorim. That's up to mankind. What we want to know now is that when it occurs, that Hashem is revealed as king, and to whatever degree he's revealed as king, Vashalva Hagdolan Lanivron. The Tirba Ha'ora Vakadusha Vatahora Vacholdor Tov. The Kochos Ora, the forces of evil, of negative spiritual forces. You Nichbim will be humbled, will be under Umshibodim Velo Yikalkulu Tovus Olam. They won't have the power to sway the world in a different direction. When the forces of spiritual negativity are strong enough, the Hakadosh Baruch Hu master ponoch. We don't have Or Ponecha, we have Hester ponim. Veinu Megala Koach Memshalto, and he remains hidden. Anochi Hashter Asdir. The Kochos Ara the sports of Visholtim, and the Kochos Ara are, you know, wreaking havoc with the world. This is where troubles come from. Now, again, the ultimate purpose of the troubles is to get people to wake up and to change their ways. So, so the There's still a kloli good purpose in everything. Except that, you know, meanwhile it's painful and it's difficult and it's everything else going on. But then you just hang on to the belief that there will come a day when everything will be clarified and everything will be clear and everything will be tova. When we, Klal Yisrael, when Makabel O Malchus Shemayim every single day, twice a day, when the Yom is Sholeit, when the Laila is Sholeit, when Makabel Malchus Yisbarchu Modim Bo, the Libam who befihem, it's not enough belayim, you have to say, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Not just belayim, but it's also belayim. You have to be concentrating, you have to be focused. Not doing something while you're saying Shema. Ophia, when that happens, and a Jew makes this great declaration. I told you, Ramchal is explaining Kriya Shema is much, much more than you ever imagined what Kriya Shema is. It's powerful. And when a Jew unleashes this power, Mofia HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ba'olamo, the world is to whatever degree made more correct, right, Nisake, Niskan. Mofia HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ba'olamo, Mekochus Hara Nichben Pech Satov, Venimshechus HaBracha La'olam. Ulahoyed al Yehuda Yisbarach Kamoshu Lachanu Lamalo. Hine Kineged Zeh Na'an Elonu. Hashem responds to our declarations of Yehuda. Umisnasei bi Yehuda. Umachzik umosuf la'olam tikun al tikun. Bevchinas al tikun amiti shezacharnu. Ultimately it will result in the ultimate tikun. She'elov mizgalgulim kol musibos ha'anhoga. Because everything, and this is really dealt with at length in Das Tunos, that everything, you know, everything is leading. Everything, Hashem is maneuvering everything for that ultimate kiwi. Remember when I got married, so it was in a chasna hall in Lido Beach. So I gave cards how to get there. You know, directions, no GPS. So if you look at that card, it looked like every road in New York's purpose was to end up at Lido Beach Hotel. Because, like, everything ended up there. And it's only, and like, you're looking at the card, you say, wow! Except, like, it's really never a hole. All the road. And on the top of the card, I still remember, it's like, I don't want to say how many years later, over 40. And on the top of the card, it was printed, all roads lead to Lido Beach. Because the map was not accurate in the sense of, there's no proportion in the map. So you can start off in Muncie, and then, so then you go on the, well, I wasn't in Muncie then. Oh, I was actually, I was a Bachman, yes. So you take the Palisades, and then the George Washington Bridge, then the Harlem River Drive, and then the FDR Drive, and then the Brooklyn Queens Expressway, and then the Grand Central Parkway, and then the another highway, I forgot what it's called. And then you take the bridge that goes to Long Island. Yeah, and it goes to Little Beach. And no matter where you're coming from in the world, you see, it made an impression. So that's what Ramchal's saying. Everything that happens in the world is a road leading to Gilui Yehudo, except that that's real. Not a man-made postcard. Yeah.
That sounds silly, but if there's like a gated community where no rishus is allowed in, and people are all like tzaddikim, is it localized? Is it focused on that community that they will be a beacon of light, that they will have all goodness and bracha?
I have no idea. Maybe, I'll explain. Maybe there's a tremendous taina on them that they've locked the doors, and Hashem wants the whole world to know who he is. And maybe the Lubavitcher Rebbe, with the whole system of shluchim, he has the right idea, and they have the wrong idea. We don't know. So everybody finds his way. I'm not saying everybody should become shluchim, but you know, there's different things. There's the guy sitting in a corner learning in Lakewood, and he's not dreaming of going out anywhere. And then there's the shluchim. You see the picture, the yearly picture of all the shluchim. One picture they're going to need a wider and wider lens every year. And then there's in the middle this Project Inspire, and there's the Shabbos Project, and there's Kiruv.
But how does it balance out?
We don't know.
We have such missions in the world.
We don't know. I can't answer you. We have to do our... The question is, I thought you would ask me a more difficult question that I don't know if I could satisfactorily answer. And why doesn't everybody just have to do kiruv? Why doesn't everybody have to become shluchim? If the goal is that the whole world, the sakeim olam b'malchus shakai, the chol v'nei v'asa yikru b'shmecha, so the Ramchal is waxing poetic about me sitting in the shul and going Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, but like, maybe I should pick myself up and go out and do something, not just sit there screaming Shema Yisrael, because here Ramchal is happy with the guy sitting there and sincerely saying Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu, and he's making a major rectification in the world. Like I say about Otsko, it's a big company and there's a lot of cogs in the machine and everybody has their role to play. You know, the janitor that sweeps up so that it should be clean, and the typesetting girls who just typeset, and the editors and the super editors and the writers and the people that give money. And that's the world, you know, everything works. It's very, I don't think anybody, I mean, look, Rav Noach Weinberg, Tzatzal, did say that. He said there's a raging conflagration. Everybody has to go do kiruv. And he would turn them out and send them out. And not everybody was molded that he correct, that he was correct. But he said, we can't wait, I was an Eshet Torah until I was fired, and I moved there as well. I just made it sound like it was over this ideological argument. It wasn't. They fired me, I was no good. Hashem wanted me to be the rabbi in Mount Beit Shemesh. Shva Asrei Shana. Right? But it was major. Like, I don't want to say the person's name, but I had a huge battle with Rabbi Berkowitz, who was then in Eshet Torah. And I said, they wanted to ship him out, right after he got smicha. You know? They felt that the guy that gets smicha in Eshet Torah is already ready. He's already shalom to a degree in his own world, and he's ready to go out and do kiruv. It's a little superficial, not really. I guess. Not ready to be a poser. No. But Noah claimed this, you know, that's what I thought you would ask. Noah claimed that this is where it's at, this is what the world's waiting for, this is what we need to do. And if we don't do this, like, we're just moving further and further. And Lubavitcher Rebbe, really, I mean, Lubavitch didn't, now everybody associates Lubavitch with Chabad houses and Shluchim, but the late Lubavitcher Rebbe did that. It wasn't like that. Okay, it's not really 100% true, because in Russia, they were the ones that really kept Russian Jewry connected to Yiddishkeit, but it wasn't out Skirov, it was Poshut. It was like a flood, and you're trying to save a couple of survivors. It wasn't like now, where, you know, I don't know, when I was growing up, now it's even more like that, but even when I was a kid, like 50 years ago, and the joke was that everywhere you go, there's Coca-Cola and a Chabad house. Those two things are everywhere in the world. I I think they just opened the last one. I think South Dakota didn't have one or something like that. There's some state in the United States that didn't have one. Just got one like a year ago. I don't know the answer. So the disciples, also, they said this guy has to go out and become like the head of a Eishes Torah branch. And I said, he's not coming back. And once you go out, he'll come back and let him learn and grow on his own for 5 more years, 6 years, and then go out. So I haven't have lost that battle. Rabbi Berger was trying to work with So I lost that battle, and I ended up being proved wrong, because the fellow did work for 5 or 6 or 7 years as an agent and directing a branch. And then he stopped, and then he came back, and he's learning now.
What about all the things he passed on all those years?
Well, he had smicha. Before they send someone out, they make sure he has a basic level of knowledge. They don't send out, I'm a ratzin. Some people might take issue with that sentence, because me, I'm a yeshiva bocher, so I certainly look at them as I'm a ratzin. I shouldn't be telling you ladies this. But, you know, they have smicha, they can handle themselves, they know what's osur and what's mutter, and they're inspired, and Rav Nalach says, we have no time to waste. Jews are being lost every day. There's a fire raging. This is his, like, imagery. And
also coming from that world, they have a very good capacity to relate to that world.
Okay.
You know,
but I'm saying, Rav Chaim is happy when a guy is sitting on the bench in shul saying Shema Yisrael with Kavana. So you could say that Rav Chaim was talking to a world where 90% of the Jewish people were religious, not to a world of assimilation where 90% of the world, of the Jewish world, is not religious, and assimilation is rampant. And we're losing Jews every day, so Rav Chaim didn't contend with that situation. And I don't know, but he is telling us that the main rectification of the world, maybe not of the individual, but the individual has to do things for the world, and the rectification of the world is to make a Kiddush Hashem, to make people know about Hashem. Now, it seems like a very losing battle, right? Look around the world, it seems like a losing battle. So we don't know what Hashem considers a victory, what he doesn't consider a victory, and the worse things are, the better they are, or maybe it's the better they are, the worse they are, which way it goes. It's very, it's extremely unclear. We don't have a Navi to guide us. Everybody's pulling in different directions. Everybody puts out a parsha sheet and says what they want to say. Everybody puts out a newspaper and says what they want to say. People write svarim. I said this many times, I don't think the thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands, literally, of shiurim on the internet are necessarily such a good thing. Because, you know, you're just listening and absorbing. And if you are absorbing, probably everybody listening to is going to give a different message. It's very confusing. People don't have. I am shocked at the. You don't know, ladies, how lucky you are. I'm shocked. I'm just kidding. But I am shocked at the people that have no mentor, no rav, nobody to guide them. And they're just floundering around in life. And they're doing their best, you know. Treading water. They're not going to get them. I mean, I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm not the gatekeeper. But I'd be happy if I get out of stay out of there. But even though the Rav Chaim says Gehenna's great, you only got 12 months to go. Wow, you made it to Gehenna. I remember we learned that. So I wouldn't have known your question. I knew how to answer. But if you would have asked me, why isn't every man, you know, or every nowadays it's every woman, you know, go move to Odessa or to. I don't know. The answer is it's huge, and everybody plays a role. Who knew when I was a kid and I was in Lakewood learning, and Rabbaran, I mean, I wasn't there when Rabbaran was there. Rabbaran was listed before my bar mitzvah. But the tone of Lakewood in those days was just sitting and learning. And Kiruv was, nobody knew what the word meant even, but they wouldn't even look, no smicha. No one was becoming rabbis and going and having congregations. And it was just learning, learning, learning. Who knew that? No, I can tell you, I was there those years. And then Hashem, like, out of nowhere, you had the seed program, you know what the seed program is? And the Lakewood Bachrim and Avreichim, and then they opened up the first coil, like it was in Australia. I remember, because like, it was ready tomorrow. Like, the first one was in Australia, and then it was the last Togel, Tzal, took over the opening of Koyolim all over, and now like everybody, in so many, it has spawned so many community Koyolim. But I'm telling you, it wasn't a gleam of a dream in anybody's mind or game plan. Because Rabarak understood, whether instinctively or he had Ruach HaKodesh, I don't know how do I know? Who am I to know? I don't know. But he knew that right now, after the Holocaust, you have to just produce major league Talmidei Chacham. And when you reach a critical mass, and this, I'm talking in hindsight, because in hindsight I'm very, very smart. When you reach a critical mass, then it like bursts forth, like the Shea Chutzah, my Masecha Chutzah. And all of a sudden you have this base medrash that can't hold anymore 500, 600, 700, you know, so you build another building, but it's bursting. And then all of a sudden someone has a seed. Rabbi Shulman, Muncie, he started the seed program. And someone started community kollel. And then like the dam burst, and everybody's now going, and then like I lived through a tekufa where it's like a mace. And you see Hashem knows what he's doing. That's really what it boils down to. And how did it happen? Someone has to write a history of how it happened. I just remember the first community koyol was in Australia. And then everything else followed in quick succession. And now everywhere you go, and then Chofetz Chaim opened its doors in Queens. And all of a sudden it's sending out that it's making its community koyol. And, you know, it just happened. You know, all of a sudden you're looking around and everybody's doing that. And Amdus Vatfog is spearheading opening community koyol. Who would have thought? Because there was no thought of that. And even in the first years of Rav Shneur, there was no thought of it. Until Australia, I don't know, I wasn't involved in these meetings. Like, what do I know? Maybe it was cooking for 5 years. But like, I can tell you that from the viewpoint of a bench warmer, like all of a sudden, Australia happened. I can't ever read another chance. Like, they're going to the other end of the world, like, you know. And then all of them, another one opened, and another one opened, and then Chofetz Chaim got into the picture. So, I don't know. Everybody has to do what they can. And I don't know, you know, and Baba Jarebi, you know, he sends out unmarried Bachrim to be shvuah. And like, what? I don't know. Somebody knows what they're doing. You know, and like with bursting at the seams of people just sitting and learning, also. And all the yeshivas around the world are bursting at the seams. And you have Leiv La'achim, which is so under the radar, if my Nehemiah, who's extremely involved in Leiv La'achim now, very, very involved, because he's bilingual and bicultural, and they consider him a valuable resource. I mean, they should ask me if they want to, but they consider him a valuable resource because of money, because of American money. He's a valuable resource because he's totally bilingual and totally bicultural. He could think like an Israeli and think like an American. He's like really good. And Leiv La'achim is totally under the radar. So you take regular Israeli Avreichim, who everybody looks at as not caring about anybody else. And they're going out there, and because of Rav Shach, who's also seen as a stern, you know, Torah above all man, Rav Shach was on that paskin that everyone has to give up,
X amount of time to learn, their mahalach is to learn. They're not arachim. So you want to become, you want to debate the existence of Hashem and good and evil, go to arachim. We're just going to learn Torah with you. That's the, okay, that's the mahalach. And if Nachali would come here and lecture to you, it would blow your mind what's going on. Because it's not just men, boys. It's boys and men and girls and women. There's medrashot, it's called. I don't even know what it's called. All over Israel, there are, I don't want to say thousands. What do you call them? It's either hundreds.
Why
it's fascinating. He takes people around. He takes rich people around. When they come here, and he takes them around to different places. Everybody is like, I can't believe it. I can't believe this exists. And they stay under the radar, under the Nechemia. I'm talking about Lev La'achim. Hundreds or thousands? People learning. What? Thousands for sure. And women and men? Or girls or whatever? Much more than thousands. I can hear much more than thousands. Okay, fine. Okay, I put you on. Okay, thank you. I'm darshing about Lev La'achim and my son Nechemia. Goodbye.
Why
he says, for sure, thousands. Are you ready to give $500,000 to Lev La'achim? No, really. Just to satisfy your curiosity about Lev La'achim? I mean, with all due respect, he's a busy guy, you know. He drives around rich people. He's a great resource, because in the car he darshans. And he is one of the few people that have a mental image. It is organized like an army. You can't believe this. Sorotskin, who's the head of it. What's his first name? No, he's the head of a Reshet of Kolelin. What's his name? Sorotskin. He almost became a Knesset member. He was like, anyway, he organized it 10 years ago, like an army. They have generals and lieutenants and captains. And the country is divided up into sectors. And they have strategy sessions. It's like the funniest thing. And Rav Steinman told them to stay under the radar, because once the Chiloni newspapers find out about them, they're going to be attacked. And it's going to be a mess. And he said, now there's a movement. Because of money issues, you see, Nechemia and other things, Rav David Cohn holds it's time to come out of the closet, so to speak, and stop the under the radar, because they need money. And people never heard, Kemal didn't hear of that. And people mix him up with Yad La'achim. Oh, Lev La'achim, you're the ones that rescued Jews from Arab villages. No, that's Yad La'achim. Sorry, okay. Well, I'd rather give money to a Yad than a Lev, no? Anyway, my point is that this is going on and people don't know about it. So it's a little simplistic to say that the Kolel guy, all the Afreshim here, the Sfaradim, they go out at night to learn with people on Moshavim. They're all split up into regiments, into battalions. They all go out and they don't get money. No, they get money from doing it. They're around 6-9 months behind in getting paid. But they get like a pittance. Nobody gets like a money.
Women do also. There are women who go to
work. Yeah, it's, so, look, again, I lived through the bursting forth. And you see that the Rabbaran and the Chazanish and Rosh Shach, I look at the Rabbaran like almost like, I don't know if he was a Navi. I mean, who am I even talking about Rabbaran Kotler? It's a big, a pathetic joke. But again, in hindsight, Rav Noach really took a slightly different approach. He said, get your basic Jewish knowledge, get your basic smicha, and get out there. We can't afford to wait. We can't afford it. So that's also a machlokes, you know. Like I said, I lost my battle over someone, and I was proven wrong because he worked for 5-6 years in Kiruv, and now he come back and he's learning on a personal level. So I lost, and I was proven wrong about that person at least. I still think it's extremely unusual and rare That one, you know, once you leave the Beis Medrash, you know, you ain't coming back.
Do they still do that? Send them out right away?
Absolutely. They're having their own internal problems, but the basic structure is still that. You know, I don't ask. Hashem, I guess that's the proof that Rav Noach was right. Because the Sultan is taking it down. Whenever the Sultan sees something good, he takes it down. Okay, erase that.